All right. So you are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And for those of you who this is your first time tuning in, The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related. And just some general updates before we get started, because we don't only host this radio show, we put on various film screenings throughout the week and have lots of other movie-related events that you can find more info on our Instagram at UBC Film Society. And in terms of screenings, this Thursday at 6, we're screening Palestine in the Eye, and They Do Not Exist, followed by Here and Elsewhere at 7. And on Friday, we are screening 10 Things I Hate About You at 6, followed by Anyone But You at 8 p.m. And today, we are going to be talking about Andrea Arnold with a very special guest, first time on the radio ever.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Very excited
to talk about one of my favorite directors.
I was just saying to them before we got in the studio, like, I had never really heard of Andrea Arnold before, but I'm in love with her style. Yeah. I will get all into that, all the minutiae. We got lots of movies to throw at you today. We got some shorts. It's going to be a good time. But first, we got some ads. So I'm going to play those, and then we will be right back.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but
We Outside presents Lost in Paradise, featuring Sam Wallace performing at the Cobalt Cabaret on March 14th at 6 p.m. Head to showpass.com and look up We Outside to grab your tickets today.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
All right, so we're back, and as mentioned before, we're going to be talking about Andrea Arnold. So for those uninitiated, which was me until like 4 days ago.
And me.
And you, yeah. Andrea Arnold is a filmmaker from Dartford. She grew up on a council estate, left school at 16 to act for a bit, studied at the American Film Institute in Los Angeles before returning to the UK. And she kind of like tends to center most of her films, with the like notable exception of American Honey, in the UK, in that sort of area. She's always kind of drawn towards like darker stories and darker themes, and is known for giving her actors like almost total control in creating their characters. So I guess I'll just kind of kick this off with like a question for you, Everett. What, why Andrea Arnold? Why did you want to talk about her?
Well, initially I had thought about like maybe some other filmmakers I would like to discuss. And then I was like, you know what? It's March. It's Women's Month. I just feel like, and I honestly feel like she doesn't get enough attention. Like American Honey was definitely had more of a popular moment, but I haven't heard people really talk about Bird, since like a couple of people I know went to go see it at VIFF. I feel like people should know. People need to hear about it. It's really great stuff.
Oh yeah. Like she's got such a distinct style. Like even in like the first one I watched for all of her stuff was Bird. I kicked it off with that. And just like even in like the first 5 minutes, it was already like I could already feel such a sense of her like as a filmmaker that was just so bold, like so interesting. And I think we really do see like even the roots of that like in her earlier like shorts, because she's got like three notable ones that we talked about.
I really like all of them. I would say probably Wasp is my favorite, and that was the Academy Award winner. But like her earliest, Milk, it's really like 10 minutes, but really like real punch in the gut about like a woman post miscarriage. And it's like very dramatic and kind of shocking, but in a way where it really like holds you there and forces you to look at it. So that one's pretty interesting.
Yeah, like it really feels like she kind of explores these like fringe relationship dynamics, and like that kind of like definitely becomes more prevalent like her later films, but like just even like starting off with like this sort of like these strange relationships born out of like tragedy almost that wouldn't work in like any other circumstance.
And yeah,
even like the kind of like twist, if you can call it that, in this one is like really efficient. Like I feel like it just comes out of nowhere and it's like, whoa, okay. Like I thought it was really well done for like 10 minutes.
Well, that's what I was saying to you. It was like such a quick 10 minutes. Like it was over and I was like, oh my gosh, I just, that was it. And, but it was very, like you said, like it like held onto my attention. Yeah. And then it was such a like, wow, like that was such a complete like narrative, but also so like, oh, like I feel like empty now. But very efficient in 10 minutes.
Yeah. I really enjoy how she just kind of like throws you in to the plot and like gives you just enough exposition that you can kind of like orient yourself, but it never feels like it's very like this like winding unraveling of stuff like leading up to the inciting incident. It's just like bam, close as you can get, and you'll kind of figure it out as you go, which I do enjoy.
I feel like Dog has a similar feeling. I don't know if you guys ended up watching that one, but they're
not able to.
It's a couple and they're like hanging out, and then all of a sudden, like, it takes a real turn and they meet, like, a stray dog and you think, like, okay, this could go one way or another. And then the boyfriend, like, beats the dog to death.
Oh, wow.
And so it's, again, like, a pretty, like, her stuff always takes, like, a pretty drastic and dramatic turn. And really, like, she really likes to, like, hit you over the head out of nowhere. But in a way that's not, like, it's abrasive, but I always find it really, really well done and very, like, realistic.
And it doesn't feel cheap.
Yeah,
like she's not just doing it because she's trying to like shock people, or like it always feels like it's getting right to your core. Like
like it's definitely, it's earned. Like the payoffs don't, like even if they're not satisfying, like it's kind of like, okay, this isn't just for shock value, or this isn't like in kind of a pulpy fashion. Like it just feels like it's the sort of thing where life sucks sometimes, and that's gonna be how it's gonna be. And I think in some of her later movies, she kind of like she explores this like strange like beauty in the kind of like, you know, like shitty parts of life. But I feel like even in her earlier stuff, like she's really like the way she explores like tragedy is so unique. Like I feel like her approach to it is really interesting. Like even in not Wasp, Milk, like just like kind of centering this woman, like how unconventional her means of like dealing with grief are, and not like passing like judgment on that is really like interesting, I think, because we don't see that sort of like perception a lot. I think
it's something too that's pretty relevant. Like recently people have been talking about, of course, like Sean Baker and Anora, and about like movies that are about like working class stories in general, or like people that like maybe lean a bit towards like more like, if you could say, like poverty aesthetics. But I feel like Andrea Arnold, you can always tell she has a lot of like care for the people she works with, and she often works with like non-actors too, and just like people she gets off the street. And you can tell like she like has care for the people, but also for the subject matter, especially with Wasp, about like the single mother and like the four kids, because like again too, like that's the way she grew up, so obviously mm-hmm. that's coming from like a real place.
Yeah, like it never feels like voyeuristic at all, or like it's kind of like poverty porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's like we're not like just like looking in, it's like these are these people, like this is their like actual lives, and we're mm-hmm. just along with them for a second. It's not mm-hmm. like framing them in like some sort of like I don't know, constructed format. Like it's like this is yeah. just being given to us as they are.
Yeah, and I feel like from what I've watched, kind of like in a similar vein, like I feel like you get right into the character, you know. Like I didn't feel like I was like looking in on someone. Like I felt like I was sitting next to that person and, mm-hmm. and kind of experiencing it with them in a way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just really like emotionally effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have to play a song from one of her movies because the soundtracks, as we'll soon find out,
yeah.
are insane. So the song that we're going to be kicking it off with to go into our next section is Recharge and Revolt by the Raveonettes off of the American Honey soundtrack, which so many bangers, so hard to pick just one, but this is amazing. This is a great song. So here is Recharge and Revolt by the Raveonettes.
Thank you.
All right. That was Recharge and Revolt by the Ravenettes off of the American Honey soundtrack, which we'll be getting into a bit later. For now, we're going to move into Fish Tank, which is the earliest of her like feature films that we're going to be talking about. It's a 2009 film following 15-year-old Mia, played by Katie Jarvis, and the relationship that develops with her mother's new boyfriend, played by Michael Fassbender. So
I love Michael Fassbender.
It's crazy, like, that he's in this movie to me. Like, it feels like, because he's kind of the only real, like, celebrity. Mm-hmm. And even, like, I guess with Bird, like, it kind of feels like she has, like, one kind of name actor, and then mm-hmm. everyone else is usually more, like, unknown.
Yeah. So, same with, I guess, like, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't even know that was him. Like, I realized, like, I checked the credits, and I was like, oh, my God, I have no conception of what Shia LaBeouf looks like.
You've never seen Holes?
No.
Oh, that's a great one. I missed out.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. I literally, like, I looked afterwards, and I'm like, oh, I guess that's him. Like, I've just seen him in my mind as, like, the name. Mm-hmm. But
I know I've read a couple articles. Something that I love about this movie is that she found the main actress mm-hmm. like arguing at a train station yeah. with her boyfriend and was like, well, you're perfect.
Yeah.
I just think that's so cute and so perfect.
Yeah. I really appreciate like how she kind of like pulls just like real people. Mm-hmm. I feel like it gives like the stories a lot more depth and like authenticity mm-hmm. when she's like letting these actors kind of not like take the lead, but like make so many decisions around their character. Mm-hmm. Like, especially it feels like you really see them grow like in a super realistic way. Mm. Feels like very, very much realistic. Because mm-hmm. I know they filmed this one like chronologically.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so crazy. But I really respect how much like she kind of commits to making these characters feel like real people, mm-hmm. like breathing life into them.
And like for like a non-actress, like, she does so, so well, the main character, and especially watching her play off, like, the boyfriend character. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously, like, Fassbender is, like, a real, like, more of a seasoned actor. But watching them together, like, especially the moment where it gets a bit tense at the end where he ends up slapping her across the face, I think is so, it's just so well done.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. You can feel it really on both sides.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm honestly, like, mad respect to Katie Jarvis because she holds mm-hmm. her own in those scenes.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's the gamble you take with casting like newcomers is like they could just totally like crumble on screen, especially mm-hmm. alongside like a talented actor like Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. But no, she absolutely like she imbues Mia with like so much nuance. Like mm-hmm. I think the scene when Mia's like at her second audition, she kind of realizes like what like the dancing really entails. Like there's like this kind of like moments of innocence that come up and you're really like punched in the gut, like reminded that like she's 15 and it's like she's not an adult, like, no matter how much she acts like it. And there's just these little, like, childish moments that I think are used really effectively. And I think even in, like, her other films, because you see, like, the protagonists are always on the younger side. And then, like, it only, the impact of that is only really realized, like, at pivotal moments. I feel mm-hmm. like that, for me, like, that really echoed that. And just how close to the end it is, like, of the movie. Like, everything's shaken out with the boyfriend. And this is kind of, like, her last like connection to that, like I just think it's so well done.
I think too, just like the, like I was initially surprised the first time I watched it when she kidnaps the daughter.
Yeah.
Then I was like, actually, like I don't know, just like that. It's like such like a youthful like 15-year-old girl thing mm-hmm. to do. Like it's like a desperation. It's like this is like what's meant to happen. Yeah. I just think that's so well done.
Yeah.
And too, like I also love. Obviously, she loves that like. Tighter aspect ratio mm-hmm. she uses it here, and then also like an American Honey, I think that like honestly, like I know it's kind of silly aspect ratio, but I think it adds a lot.
Yeah,
it really makes you feel like you're like boxed in there.
Yeah, I think like an effective like use of like aspect ratio is mm-hmm. definitely like a very valid filmmaking technique, and I think she utilizes it to kind of its full potential. Like it really gets like realized the claustrophobic nature of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like even like I love just how she like frames everything and like how naturalistic it feels. Like it really just feels like you're just like peeking in on these characters' lives for a moment and then like dipping out. I feel like even like how she just always like with the shorts, like just kind of plops you in there and like stuff's happened in the plot. Like Mia's had this falling out with her friend that we never really learn like the details of and that sort of thing. Like it's just like plot details have already kind of happened that I feel like some filmmakers would spend time exploring, but she doesn't. I feel like that really adds to the sense of like this isn't like the character's only story. This is just a chapter in their story that we happen to be privy to.
Yeah, it's very, very, like, slice of life done, mm-hmm. like, to the best it can be done, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like, yeah, like, just how nebulous everything feels, especially the ending. Like, it's not hopeful, but it's not hopeless. It's like, oh, you know she's moving on, but if that's going to be forwards or backwards, you know, who's to say, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that really fits with the, like, this is just a chapter or just a slice of the life, because it's like, yeah, nothing is as like cut and dry in real life as it can be in movies, and it is nice to see that like on screen, where it's just like, oh, okay, well, you know, in the same way that the character might have to sit with what they've done or what's coming for them, you also have to, like, you don't know more than them about where they're gonna end up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one could see the future, but this soundtrack as well also goes crazy. Got one specific banger from this, California Dreamin'. Like,
hell yeah.
It's not the Mamas and the Papas, so Chungking Express can still hold on to that one. But this one is the version by the artist Bobby Womack. And it is, I'd never heard it before this movie, but I really enjoy it. So,
like this version? Yeah.
I don't know if it's the original or a cover, but
I think the Mamas and the Papas is the original. Yeah.
Well, and this is a very good cover. I'm going to play for you guys right now before we launch into our next movie.
All the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I went for a walk on a winter's day. Such a widow's day. Went to a church yesterday. I stopped along the way. Well, I got down on my bending knees and I began to pray. You know, the preacher digs a call, 'cause he knows I'm gonna stay. He knows I'm gonna stay.
All right, that was California Dreamin' by Bobby Womack. And with that, we will be launching into our third film, which is American Honey. So, do you want to kick us off with this?
Yeah. Honestly, there's so much to say. This is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it's so interesting too, because, and then immediately after this, she goes back to the UK with Bird, and that's kind of her typical setting and what she's like more drawn to. But I think her take on Americana is honestly, this is my first film I watched by hers, and I had no idea she was British. I assumed she was American. I was like, she has such a grasp on like the aesthetics and like this like cross-country road trip, and it's such like a beautiful portrait of like middle America and like lower class America. So to find out it comes from someone who maybe doesn't even necessarily have firsthand experience with that, I was honestly like floored. And two, this is, again, like an instance of her finding most of the cast, I think, on, they were on spring break at, like, Miami Beach. And, like, the main girl, like, Sasha Lane, who plays Star, was found on the beach. And several, like, I think most of the magazine crew was as well. That's and just the way they, like, the way they play off each other is so good. It's so good. Yeah. Was this your first time watching it?
This was my first time watching it. I think I definitely, I agree with, like, your take that, like, I would not have known she was British, like how I watched this. Like, it felt very much like everywhere, like when you're like going through, like Idaho or Utah or something, you just like stop at a gas station and get out for a bit and you're like, wow, I wonder what the lives of people are like around here. Like, it really just captured this kind of like nebulous in between that I feel like a lot of America occupies, just because of how like expansive it is. Like, it really feels like it goes on forever, and like you're just seeing like the same gas stations, like the same houses over and over again. It's like, oh, you know, it feels like a bit of a maze. And I feel like that even like works in the context of the movie, like kind of as Star is getting drawn further and further into this like magazine crew and like all their like relationships and stuff. And it's like she's just like getting pulled further and further into this like pit of America. And, yeah, I think like the way like the color grading of this film works, it's like gorgeous. It feels so like sticky. Like, I'm sitting there being like, oh, this is like a summer day like outside where it's like just too hot to do anything. Like, you can just sit and like sweat. And I feel like even in her other films, like, she creates this sense of like coldness that just isn't present here, like, because I feel like this one's definitely like the warmest of the three, which makes sense with this, like, middle America setting.
I definitely agree. And like the runtime, of course, is pretty long. It's like almost 3 hours, but I find like flies right by. Wish it was even longer.
Release the 4 hour cut.
I need a director's cut immediately. But I do think it's interesting too, because she often has like small children, and of course, like, Star is not that old, and we come to realize that throughout multiple moments. But when it starts off, she has the younger siblings. And I just think her treatment of like small children characters is always so well done. It's always like really tugs on the heartstrings, obviously. But I don't know where she gets these kids, but they're always, they do their role so impeccably. It's actually really amazing.
Like, she's actually so good at this like street casting thing. So I feel like to hit it out of the park like three times is insane. Plus all the side characters, like, she's just like, she's found a niche and she's playing it well. Like, yeah, and the kids are like, I think even like how Star interacts with these kids, like near the end of the movie when she's like invited into the house and that sort of thing, like just chatting with the kids, I feel like there is like, there's just such a sense of like understanding between the two of them, where it's like, oh, this is like a kid talking to a kid. That it's like, again, with that really impactful use of like reinforcing the main character's youth, just being like, yeah, they are like, they seem older, and you kind of forget about the fact that they are kids until like she's able to play these very, like, pivotal moments.
I like how she says, especially in that scene where she happens upon the house and, like, the kids obviously haven't been, like, well-fed. Like, she really shows, I think it's cute, the, like, it's, like, a kind of, like, a bonding thing between youth. There's, like, some, like, unsaid, like, allyship between, like, young people. You see that with the magazine crew. Like, they're all kind of, like, they understand that they're all, like, young and trying to find their way. And, when, like, obviously people, like, implicitly, like, go to help children. But as you age, like, there's less of that, like empathy towards people. People become more, like they're automatically your enemy, more not automatically your friend.
No, absolutely. I feel like, like, honestly, what's most impressive about this movie for me is the fact that I didn't really feel the runtime. Like, that may also count. I watched it over the course of a few days, but even as I was watching it, like, I remember being like, oh, I've got like an hour left, and then like suddenly the movie was over, and I was like, oh my god, I thought I had an hour left. And it's like, no, it just like, it moves at such a nice clip. Especially, like, I find some of those longer movies can be, like, very, like, dragging. But this one, like, it just balances, like, action and, like, these moments of, like, introspection really well. Like, I feel like it never feels like it's moving too fast or moving too slow or trying to be something that's not. Like, it very much is just presenting this to us. And I really, I enjoy the way it all rolls out, I think.
It's really one of the ones where when I rewatch, I really, like, I'm always excited for the next scene. Like, I always think I'm like, oh, I would love to rewatch this scene. And then it comes and I'm like, oh, but then there's that other scene. Like,
that's always a good feeling.
Yeah. Did you guys, the cowboy moment really sticks out to me. I don't know why. Out of all their encounters, like, obviously there's the one where she happens upon the well-off mom and her daughter who's doing, like, basically, like, TikTok dances in the backyard. Just pretty funny and really contemporary. That's honestly because this movie, I guess, came out like 2016, but it feels like it really feels super, super relevant to not like not just like the late 2010s, but also kind of like the post, like the first like Trump era, like that whole vibe. Like, I just feel like she really captured something in kind of like almost like a prophetic sense. Like, she was really like ahead of the curve.
I agree. Like, it definitely feels like that kind of like post 2020 feeling of like everything is kind of going to shit, but it's all in the background and you're not really aware of it. There's just this pressure building and you know it's gonna like cook over, but it's not right now, so it's like you just have to let it bubble. I think what you said with the cowboys is so true. Like, there's something, maybe it's like how isolated their house is or something, or just how much, like, I'm always struck by how much blue there is in that scene, like the sky and the pool. And it's like, it just seems like such a shift away from all these like warmer, like yellows that seem to kind of like dominate the rest of the film. Like, it really feels like, you know, I'm like, okay, like something's gonna happen here. Something big is about to occur.
Yeah, I love when she goes back, because there is a lot of, lots of yellow, but then also especially like the end scene, like where it flips to the nighttime and it goes like very blue and dark. And I think like another thing I really like in this movie is, and I guess this goes across her whole filmography, but the animals. There's there's so much, so many lovely shots. The bear is one of my favorite moments when she has the encounter with the bear. It's just, it's like really, wow.
Yeah.
And then like the turtle, all sorts of things. And this happens in Fish Tank, obviously, too.
Yeah.
And Wasp.
Yeah.
And well, dog is, yes, maybe less of a gentle treatment of animals, but they're still present as a theme.
I find it so interesting how often like horses come up like across all of our movies. Like, somehow there's always a horse, which is kind of like crazy considering like they're all kind of, especially like Fish Tank and Bird are like set in these like bustling cities, and somehow she still worked a horse into there. Like, mad respect for that, because like
maybe she's a horse girl.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
They're very cinematic. They're very gorgeous.
Yeah,
and beautiful.
Yeah. That's the underlying conspiracy. Next movie's just horse.
Horse. She actually did a documentary on cows. I haven't sat down to watch it, but it's it's all about cows.
Oh, I can sense it. Yeah, we're moving towards Andrea Arnold horse feature next year. I'm gunning for it. It's gonna sweep at the Oscars. But
no one's arguing.
No,
we agree.
I'm team horse. I think there's also like one specific scene in this movie that really stands out to me. I think it's like halfway through or almost near the end, the sex scene between Star and I can't remember Shia LaBeouf's character's name.
Jake. Yeah. In the car when they're in the field.
And it's like
it's so tender.
Yeah. And like the camera is so like mobile, which is like, I feel like really unconventional. Like, it's like you can see like it'll shake and like set down and stuff like that. It really feels like you are just like looking in a way that like I feel like it really makes itself known suddenly as like you are watching a film. Like, up until that point it feels like you're very immersed in it, then like this is like, oh okay, like I am watching a film. I don't know, and it, like that one moment of like being taken out of it, I feel like makes the rest more efficient when I'm like plunged back in. It's like coming up for water like just before this like final push through to the end. And I think that like Arnold really excels at these moments of like knowing when to kind of like break this like tension that's been building for the whole movie in just the most effective way before everything starts to kind of slowly unravel.
Yeah, I think that's a big thread with their relationship. Like, they obviously don't treat each other very well, Star and Jake, and there's a lot of like back and forth, and it's very tense initially. But then, like, that, like, really all falls apart in this moment. It's a very sweet, very cute moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think this is such an interesting exploration, like, how all of Star's, like, relationships between people, like, kind of slowly develop. Like, it feels very, like, naturalistic and, like, real.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate how much care and attention, like, Arnold gives to, like, the side characters as well. Mm-hmm, like, they all feel, like, real, like, unique individuals. Oh, my God. They all feel like real people. Like, they don't just feel like they're just thrown in there for the plot. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I can totally see, like, another movie, but, like, any one of these people. Like, there's so much going on, I feel like, doesn't even get explored. And, it, like, it doesn't need to be. It's not missing that exploration, but it's, like, the potential for it is there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's American Honey, which, again, soundtrack goes crazy.
So good.
You already heard one from it, and now you're going to hear another. This is, I think, my favorite off the soundtrack. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a
huge... This is just one of, like, my favorite songs in general.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Mazzy Star fan, so this is Fade Into You by Mazzy Star.
Strange, you never
right. That was Fade Into You by Mazzy Star. And it's going to be leading us into our final movie of the episode, which is Bird, which came out pretty recently. So you might have heard about it. Came out this year, actually. And I think all of us saw this in like the past week. So very fresh in our minds.
Yes.
I'll start like, yeah, what did you guys think about this?
This is definitely not my favorite of hers, but I really like how it like slots in to her like overall catalog. If I'm being honest, I didn't love it until the third act.
Yeah.
And then when it kind of takes a turn like towards more of like a magical realist theme, and like he has the bird wings, then I started to really appreciate it. And honestly, the ending of this one left me feeling a lot sadder.
Yeah.
Than the rest of her films. I kind of found that like the hopeful note, or maybe like the warm note, was really missing from the end, and it honestly really depressed me.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it was like definitely tonally different from her other films, which is interesting, and especially the incorporation of like magical realism. Like I thought that was like a bold choice, but I think it really worked to help give the film a bit more like sense of like uniqueness in her like filmography.
I do like to like kind of what that implies for, I don't know, maybe what she'll do next, because she's obviously fixated on like an animal theme, but now she's taking it from like more of like a realist thing to maybe we'll see like a full on like anthropomorphic creature at some point. But I was also surprised this one got really, really good critical reception for like, I haven't heard about it much like in the culture generally. People are not really like talking about this in my circles at least, but... The critics seem to really like it. It did well in like the festival circuit.
I think honestly this one might be my favorite of the three. I think the whimsy of it really sells it for me, and like Nikika, like her performance is so insane, like again with this like thing of pulling these like kind of unknown actors and just like thrusting them into the lead role is such a gamble. But Andrea Arnold just has this sense for it. I don't know how, but she's knocking it out of the park every time with these guys. Like, yeah, Nikika Adams is, like, no exception. And, like, everyone else, like, supporting cast, like, Barry Keoghan's there, and he's obviously, like, killing it. But, like, even everyone else just feels, like, so fleshed out, I think. And that's really what I like about, like, all of her films, I think, is this attention to the side characters as, like, real people.
I really liked Franz Rogowski's performance as Bird. I thought he was just, like, so, like, I just couldn't not watch him. And so, like, weird, perfect, just so intrigued of, like, who is he and what's his deal. And I really liked the, one of my favorite parts was when they're at the by the seaside and they... find his father, they meet his father, and that I thought was really like really touching. One of my favorite moments in the film, I think, in the like the bus ride back when Bailey like twists his arm. I just everything about that I just really liked, because I think at that moment in the film for me, you know, she says like, oh, to see if you're real, like you'll feel this, and I think in that moment I was starting to kind of think about like is he real, like what is this, is this some sort of like symbol, I don't know, like what does he represent for the story, is he an actual like person? And then that kind of was like, okay, like I don't know, it was really like it made me think more, which I like, because I do think that like I was getting a little bit not bored, that's too strong of a word, but like
lost in the sauce a bit,
a little bit, yeah, where I was just like, okay, I need something to like pique my interest again, and I feel like that did it for me. And then not too long after that moment there is like the with the wings, but I thought that he was excellent.
Absolutely, he was like a total scene stealer. It's like such a compelling look to him as well. Like, you look at him, you're like, yeah, like he does look very bird-like, like they cast him well. I was like, I rock with this.
It's got very like sharp features.
I think honestly, good film. I rocked it.
I liked it, right? And in the end, I was like, okay, I did enjoy that. I don't know how I, like, feel about it, like, holistically, but, like, I was like, okay, I like that. So
I think, yeah, honestly, she's 3 for 3 for me. Like, I really enjoyed all the films I watched from her this week. So thank you very much for putting me on Andrew Arnold.
Yeah, no, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Hope more people tune into her work. It's great stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And looking forward to what she does next.
Yeah. Better be whores.
Better be horse. If you're listening, please, horse movie next.
Make it happen. But yeah, any last final thoughts, Andrew Arnold? Closing remarks?
Not really. I think that's it for me.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you again, Everett.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. It was lovely. I love to blab, especially about American Honey.
Love to have you on to blab. This has been an absolute treat. And I think to close it out, we're going to end it with a song from Bird.
Yes.
Too Real by Fontaine's DC. Woo. Got a resident Fontaine's DC fan in the studio.
I'm a big fan, so I was...
It's huge.
I was very... I knew that there were a couple songs in the movie. And also the scenes from the movie are used as a music video for a different Fontaine's DC song called Bug, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I was very happy to see and hear... some Fontaines in this movie. So
Now you're gonna hear some Fontaines on the show. So here is Too Real by Fontaines DC.